tell you what I did do last night. I watched The World's End. Absolutely quality film.
Yeah, that is a quality film.
You haven't
I
checked
mean,
it
all
out,
three of them
it's
are, aren't they, really?
the one of my favourite films of all time.
Yeah.
You ever watch The World's End, Tom?
I have, yeah. It's I like it. It's a bit, it can be a bit weird in places.
Yeah, but you know, we like that. I think
We do.
at the end of the day, aren't we all a bit weird in places?
I mean, zombies don't come and attack us every day.
I think we have very different lives,
Oh,
Tom.
really? Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. And on that note, hello everyone. Welcome, one and all, to the third episode of Transparent Dishwasher Egg, a podcast where we talk about things. My name is Alfie Webb.
And my name is Tom Kiddle. Alfie, I've got a question for you.
Oh, hit me, hit me.
Is it better to walk or run in the rain?
That really depends on where you're trying to get to, Tom, and what your time frame is.
Say if you're gonna come to my house.
I'm not going to walk or run to your house. You live like a 20-minute drive away from me. Plus, that's COVID illegal.
Okay,
I
well.
haven't been out of the house in like so long. Oh, out of the village. I went to the dentist this morning,
Yeah.
and it was, well, first, when I got in my car, I found the windscreen was misted up on the inside.
Oh.
Like there was just a load of moisture on the inside of the windscreen.
I
I
don't
was
think
like,
that's
what is
supposed to be
going
there.
on? It was the weirdest thing. No. And it's happened every time I've got in my car. I've been getting in my car like once a week, to like drive to the shop. But I think I've worked out what it is, and I think it's because of all the mold on the back seat. I think the mold is
That's
respiring.
disgusting.
And if I remember GCSE biology, one of the products of aerobic respiration is water.
It
So I
is.
think that water vapor is building up on the
Do you
inside of the
think you should do
windscreen.
something about that? Maybe get that mold out of your car.
I really tried. I failed. I bought some seat covers
Yeah.
and I put the seat covers over the mold.
That just hides it, doesn't it? I don't think that eradicates the problem.
Well, that might be your opinion, but I think we should ask the opinions of our guests.
I think we should as well. And our first guest this evening on the podcast is Ben Howe. How are you, Ben?
I'm good. Hi. Hello. This is great.
Ben, can I ask you a
Alfie.
question?
Of course. Go ahead, dear sir.
And we might have to edit out this 10 seconds as I realise I didn't get my random number generator online. Ben, I'd like to ask you a question about yourself. Oh, you got number 26. Tell us a fun fact about yourself.
Wow, that's predictable.
Hey, I
Let's
spent time
good try.
let's go. Oh, I actually have one. I do know every single word from the script from the first Harry Potter movie off by heart.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yep, no, that pretty much
That is
sums
quite impressive.
me up. You know, that is me. Yeah,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
also very sad.
Can you give us a short extract?
No. Because I gotta
Okay.
watch it when I did it. Now I sound like a faker.
Okay.
So you don't actually, you don't know it off by heart.
I know it when I'm watching it. It's weird. It's like kinetic learning. You know, I've got to visualize it. It's gonna be physical.
Fair.
That makes
Fair
no
enough.
sense, but you know, we'll run with it.
Someone else who is also very visual, I've seen him wear a Mario costume around quite a bit recently. That is Edward Pierce.
Hello.
How are you
The
today?
Mario costume's a status, okay? It's
It's a way of
a
life.
power move.
Ed, your random question is
Ooh.
number 13, opinion on Marmite.
Oh, well, this may appear controversial, but I'm a lover.
You're a lover.
I love Marmite.
Yes. Fair enough. So am I. So am I. That's.
Do you like Vegemite?
No.
Oh, Ed, what are your opinions on Marmite flavoured crisps, though? You know, like Twiglets and that.
Twiglets, I'm all for, but the when Walkers did it, I was not a fan. I was unhappy about that. And Lynx, when they did a Marmite thing, I wasn't thrilled.
Wait, Lynx,
Yeah, they
the
did like,
deodorant company.
yeah, they did a Marmite brand deal.
definitely.
I don't know what to say to that.
No one did.
Smell like Marmite.
I guess that's the plan.
Okay.
I don't like that.
Well, on that really quite shocking note, we're going to move on to today's topic. I'm struggling to get over that, but today we're going to be talking about money, all about money, specifically people who have a lot of it. This week in the news, you may have seen that Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, stepped down as CEO. And last month, Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, overtook Jeff as the world's richest person. So we're going to be talking about whether these people should have so much money when there's so much poverty in the world. What could be done to kind of weigh up some income inequality? And yeah, we're going to be talking more about that. And we're going to start with some figures, I think, because I think it's important to see some numbers. Elon Musk's personal net worth, pardon me, is $185 billion, or £136 billion. That is a very large number, and I have some scales to help you get it in perspective. Because the difference between a million and a billion is a lot bigger than you might think. Because 1 million seconds ago was 11 days ago, back in January. 1 billion seconds ago was 1988.
Oh.
and 185 billion seconds ago, as in Elon Musk's worth seconds ago, it was about 4000 BC.
Wow.
Writing had not been invented yet. The Bronze Age had not yet started.
That's a long time ago.
If Elon Musk earned a dollar every second from the invention of writing to the present day, he would still have not earned his current fortune. So I suppose the question we have to ask is it okay for someone to have that much money? An amount of money which I think I would argue they could not have possibly earned themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben?
That's a definite.
A no from you?
Like, so it's a big yes from me.
that's actually Ed's plan. Ed. It's just a B, Elon Musk.
Is that a yes from you, Ed? Do you think people have the right to make as much money as they can?
There's a distinct difference between wealth and being rich. So I think wealth is earned. Being rich is more of a mindset.
Can you explain that?
Well, it tends to be. The general trend is if a family is rich, so say you have sort of 2-3 generations ago a rich family, throughout the generations that you keep that sort of trend, even if the family hasn't got enough wealth or as much wealth, it still has the same sort of mindset. Because like my grandparents are very middle class, but not particularly well off, but their parents were very well off. And they've sort of retained that mindset throughout that. And I think it's the same with being poor. Like being poor is less of a wealth thing. And it's more of a mindset passed down from other generations.
Okay. So you're sort of saying that, I guess what we're talking about here now is like social class. That being kind of less to do with how much money you actually have and more to do with your background.
Yeah, in a sense. I think it, from like the moment you're born, you go through, you've sort of been set up to be either rich or poor. And it's up to you to decide, but it's not necessarily conscious that you decide to be rich or poor. I mean, the wealth comes and goes with everyone, but being rich or poor is generally a constant.
I think I see what you're saying. Ben, any thoughts on that?
Well, I guess if you've got the if you have the mindset that you're poor, and you know that's just how you think 24/7, you're never gonna become wealthy, are you? Because you're just straight on, yeah, I'm poor, I'm never gonna have that money, this is just how I am. So if you change your mindsets, like rich people could change their mindsets about how they spend their money, and then I guess I wouldn't have as much of a problem with them as I do with someone. But you know,
yeah, I guess that's the thing, because people like, we're going to be using the examples of Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos because they're kind of the most extreme, but this really applies to anyone with loads of money. Having that much money and not just giving it to people who need it, is that wrong? Does there come a point where you have a responsibility to give your money to people who are, you know, dying of poverty?
Well, in a certain sense, yes. I mean, if you have $109 billion and there's an orphanage down the road that needs $1 million to get a new house, you give them sort of $10 million. I think Jeff Bezos gave $10 million to a charity for COVID, I think it was. And I think that's like nothing to him now. Mm. But just because someone else is in a difficult and less wealthy situation doesn't give them an intrinsic right to your money that you've earned. So if I have £15 and someone else has £5, if they can't buy some milk, say, I don't have to buy them the milk.
So it's like you've earned that money, so it's yours. It's not.
You don't to, but wouldn't you feel like you needed to be like a nice human being? Like, I know if I money,
oh yeah,
milk and I had 15 quid and they needed, I don't know, 3, I'd happily give them 3 quid.
Oh so yeah, you can but I mean, money back. It's definitely down to sort of the kindness of the individual. But I mean, Jeff Bezos was getting sort of clowned on for donating 10 million, which to him's nothing, but to that charity he donated to is everything. So it's sort of like, I mean, yeah, it's just down to the person themselves.
Yeah, I think, so you're kind of saying that even though he probably should, he has no obligation to.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I think the question for me, we've been talking about this is the money that they've earned, so they have a right to keep it. I think my argument might be that have they earned that money? Is it possible for someone to have earned that much money fairly? I think that the only possible explanation for someone having that much extreme amount of wealth is that they've exploited someone else to get it. Like Amazon's workers. I'm sure a lot of people have seen news stories about Amazon's workers not being, you know, paid a fair wage or having these working conditions that are frankly obscene. And, you know, how can you say that Jeff Bezos has earned his right to those hundreds of billions of dollars if the people who actually made that money, his workers, were not given their fair share of it?
Well, there's definite ethical issues to the way money is made, but I think that again comes down to the sort of rich mindset. So instead of going like, I can't afford it, I imagine Jeff Bezos would go sort of, how can I afford it? Mm. So, and he's definitely not the most ethical and conscious person. I think he's definitely got some issues with staff. But yeah, no, there's loads of different ways to make money, and it's just finding them. And it's, again, down to the individual's sort of kindness and general goodness of the person to sort of do that ethically.
Right. So you think that our pal Jeff should be kind of free to treat his workers however he wants, and he shouldn't have to give them a fair share of the profits that he makes.
I mean, personally, I think he should, because that's obviously what they deserve. And he's done probably, I mean, he obviously works hard, but he's probably not worked as hard as nearly half
he's
of his
not, work. He's not worked thing. $185 billion hard.
No, I mean, there's exactly.
But maybe he started off earning all that by himself. Maybe his mindset was that he was going to do something that was going to have a big impact. Because they have all this money, but someone like Elon Musk is, although he's not giving it to all the poor people, he is making us go to space a lot quicker than we would be without him. So although it's not, you might not, he's not solving the problems, he's making like advancements though.
Yeah, I think if you give everyone money, like Jeff Bezos has more than enough to give everyone in the world $1 billion.
No, he doesn't.
But then that
it's a scam.
$1 trillion, isn't it?
100
Never
people.
Mind. He's got a lot of money to give to of people.
Yeah, a lot of money to give to a lot of people who could need it.
Yeah, but then if you start giving all of your sort of vast wealth away, that makes sort of money less rare almost, and it sort of devalues the sort of currency.
About inflation.
So I guess so. So I mean, it's like in, I think it's Zimbabwe, everything costs like, you can get like a $1 million note or something stupid like that. This is like, it would be a similar situation if Jeff Bezos gives sort of $1 million to everyone in the USA.
I don't think he'd need to do that though, because if he did that, he'd be giving whatever it is to Elon Musk. Like, he'd be giving it to rich people, whereas if he wanted to solve world hunger, you can actually look it up. There's a game you can play, which I was actually playing the other day, where you can spend Jeff Bezos' money. You can, like, it comes up with all the costs for everything, which is great when you are stuck in lockdown and are losing your mind. So he could end homelessness and still have a lot of money. There's a lot of zeros on this number. There's three sets of three. I don't do maths for a very good reason.
Three sets
I don't
of know three how is a billion.
Is. There you go. He could do that for $20 billion. So he put that towards that. Like, just imagine him just doing that and just solving homelessness in one back, yeah. In like one whack, and he's still got a lot of money there.
If you had that much money, wouldn't you just do that?
Exactly. Like, even if I didn't want to, I think my guilt would actually cripple me to the point that I needed to, because that's just not fair in my head anyway.
Yeah.
It's just not fair to not do that.
No one deserves to have that much money. Not in a society where there's so much poverty.
Do you know lizards actually live in the moon?
In
really?
The moon.
Yeah, and the Earth is hollow. So they live in the moon, and the Earth is also hollow. And on the inside of the Earth, there's a whole new sort of lizard ecosystem.
Is that not a Doctor Who episode?
No, it's the truth.
Well, it should be.
No, I feel like I would remember that episode. I mean, Chris Chibnall, get writing.
I actually know Chris Chibnall.
Fun fact.
I'm family friendly.
You know Chris Chibnall?
Yep.
Since I was
like 5.
Cool.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Cool. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That is a fun
that's
fact.
That is fun.
We talked about giving everyone money. That kind of brings us on to some of the policies that could be implemented to try and level out income inequality. One idea that's floated around for a very long time is a universal basic income. The idea that everyone in a society should be paid a flat rate, regardless of their job or whether they work at all. And that rate would be enough for them to live on. And then any job that they get, any money that they earn on top of that would be a bonus just for them.
So like an existence rate. Like, well done, you're existing. Have some money.
Yeah. Everyone would just get some money each month just to give them just enough to live.
So do you think people should give that to people who earn... Do you reckon there should be, like, a cap? Like, say you earn over I don't know, £45,000 a year, then you stop receiving that benefit and it goes to people who need it more.
No, that's the thing with universal basic income. It's not means tested. That's sort of why it's a bit controversial, but the idea is that it's kind of a matter of principle to not means test it, because means tested benefits have come in for a lot of criticism over the years, especially recently, over kind of increasing stringency on the means testing and ineffective means testing and weirdly punitive and arbitrary cutoffs. So
is that kind of similar to I can't remember what the date was, back in the early 1900s, where they said with the poverty lines, and it was like, if you earn this much, you're below the poverty lines or you're above the poverty lines. But then they never looked at, like, say a family's just over the poverty line, but in terms of earnings, but they've got like 7 children, and that poverty line doesn't actually reflect how much they need, because their family's bigger than, say, someone who's over the poverty line with 2 children and they've got enough to live.
Yeah. So the universal basic income would kind of ignore any of that by just giving the same amount of money to everyone. I'm not, by the way, I'm not arguing in favour of this. I'm not sure that this is what I would argue for, but it's just something that I thought we should discuss. So, guys, what are your thoughts about that? Ed, let's throw it to you.
I don't know what to make of that. I think that's, it sounds, from what I'm hearing, it just sounds great. I mean, that's what everyone would want, just a bit of money. It kind of sounds quite similar to like a benefits system that's sort of in place, but better and for everyone.
Doesn't that sort of, if everyone's getting it, so there's like no kind of threshold, doesn't that mean the rich are just going to get richer though?
Yeah, that would
be one. Everyone's just going to move up. It's not going to even out. Everyone's just going to have more.
But for a rich person, that amount of money is going to be nothing. Jeff Bezos isn't even going to notice that amount of money going into his bank account. Whereas,
if he's not going to notice it, does he deserve it? Shouldn't they then spend, instead of giving it to say they did do this, but they capped it at, if you earn over £45,000, you don't get it. Then, I don't know, a lot more than that, whatever, I mean, $70,000 or something. Everyone who earns over that, instead of using that money and giving it to them, just even because it's not going to make a difference to them, why wouldn't they then spend that on something that really needs it, like solving homelessness or something? Wouldn't they be like way more ideal? Because that way, you know.
Sure.
Killing two stones with one bird.
That's the expression. Or add that to the list of expressions that have been mangled on this show.
Yeah, this podcast is full of expressions.
Yeah,
exotic expressions.
I'm not very good at talking, so this is great for me. I'm doing good.
No, you're doing well.
Just if we want to equal out sort of differences in wealth, I think. I can't remember her name, but there was an American senator who proposed a wealth tax.
Yes, I believe that might very well be my next point. We are talking here about Congresswoman Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC, as she is known. She's one of several political figures in America. I'm not very familiar with American politics, but this is my understanding, who have proposed a very high tax on the very rich. The figure that I've got from her website is a 70% marginal tax rate on millionaires. So that would mean that money that you earn above like $1 million, you would be taxed at 70%, which is a large number.
That is quite high.
But it's important to remember that we're talking about marginal tax rates here, which means that so it's like the money you earn below that threshold would be taxed at a different rate, a lower rate. That would be the top rate for like income that you earn above $1 million. I think it's a million. I'm not sure if that makes sense.
I've seen some different figures. I think it may have been by a different congresswoman, but it was anyone over 500 million would be taxed over at 2%, and everyone over $1 billion at 3%. But if say you have 40 million and you're sort of, or say 20 million over the 500 million threshold, you I think it's something like 200,000 you're paying in tax, but that's still nothing in comparison.
I think that might be a slightly different thing. I think that might be a wealth tax rather than an income tax.
Tax.
None of us are economists, in case you haven't noticed, so it's probably not ideal for us to be kind of debating tax regimes, but the general point of, do you think the very, very wealthy should be taxed at very, very high rates? What do you think?
I mean, as much as I hate one person having a lot of money, that is quite extortionate, because you don't know their background. Maybe they somehow did earn that all on their own. I think 70%, even though like a million is a lot of money, 70% is very high if that's the number. I probably would say no to that. I would go more. 50 or 40
maybe. I don't know how that sort of stacks up against the sort of even wealthier, but I mean, I think it could definitely do some good for sort of public services.
Yeah, think of the money that could be raised. I mean, Amazon does not have a very good record of paying its taxes, despite relying on public infrastructure in the form of, you know, roads and stuff. And you know, hospitals for its workers after it makes them sick from exploitative working conditions. Can we get sued for like slander? I feel like we should have looked into this before we started talking about real people.
Well, maybe we should have.
It's just personal opinion.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Why okay. Yes.
Four in a room. Opinions versus
facts. This is opinions. I feel like we should have a disclaimer. Where we say something nasty about Amazon or Jeffrey or, you know, Elon.
If Jeff Bezos comes to me, he's welcome to the 96p in my bank account. Just have it.
It's personal opinion. It's not fact. That's
Jeff Bezos, I will fight you in a car park.
In the
Meet me at Lidl's in 15 minutes. I'm coming.
Fight Jeff for control of Amazon.
Alfie, you never answered my question from earlier on, whether it's better to walk or run in the rain.
I didn't, did I? Because, you know, it gets you there quicker. To be fair, I think I would, if it was socially acceptable, I think I would run on most journeys rather than walk.
So you think it's not socially acceptable to run everywhere?
Well, if you run somewhere, people give you funny looks. Like, I used to run everywhere in, like, year 7. I'd just run between my lessons and, like, to the canteen or whatever. Because it gets you there faster.
True.
Like, why would you walk if you could run? Yeah, like, obviously if it's a long journey, then you walk. Because I'm not the most, like, fit guy, as I think anyone can attest who has seen me attempt to do sport. Okay, right. Whilst Ed fights Jeff Bezos, let's talk about some more billionaires. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post, which is a newspaper. And that kind of got me thinking about how rich people own a lot of media things, and I looked it up. And in the UK, two billionaires, Rupert Murdoch and Lord Rothermere, own half of the UK's top 10 newspapers, which effectively means that there's a very small number of people controlling what a very large number of people are able to read and watch and, you know, all of that. Thoughts on that?
And that, kids, is why you should always rely on Facebook news programs.
wasn't what I was going for there, Ben. Thoughts on that? Should there be controls on how much newspaperage people can own? I think there already are actually rules on like monopolies, but I don't think they're very good if that figure already exists. I don't know where I'm going at this point. Someone else.
You can sort of publish whatever you want, like especially with the internet. And like, do you need a newspaper to be able to get your view or news across to someone? Like, just because they own the newspapers doesn't mean that that's what everyone's going to believe. Like, yes, a lot of people might read it and all the people who were like, oh, that must be true if it's written down.
But if they own something as big, so say one of them owned the BBC, you read like coronavirus statistics on BBC News, and you just say that, yeah, that's the one, that's the statistic, you know. Like if it's a media outlet that's that big, people will start to trust it.
Yeah.
And then they will just regurgitate the exact same information back at people and be like, oh yes, I'm an opinionated person because I watch BBC News and, you know, they're fact. And it's like, no.
And because I mean, I know we're splurging our opinions out into the world on this podcast, but we have like, what? How many Instagram followers do we have? 30? Even that?
Oh.
30. I don't know.
That, you step your game up.
Rupert Murdoch. More people listen to his opinions than listen to this podcast. I think that's what I was trying
that's
to say.
That's rude.
That's just wrong. That's a bang out of order.
This is clearly 100% fact, and everybody should take and regurgitate everything you say because we are the gods.
We are experts on these economic issues that we're talking about.
Bringing it back to rain, do you know postmen don't wear jeans?
Fun fact.
I mean, that kind of misses out why they don't wear jeans, but you know. Postmen don't wear trousers ever.
Really? No trousers.
Tell me when you've seen a postman in trousers.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. It's a myth.
Oh.
Postman. It's because there's
like a shared hallucination of postmen.
There's less fabric to get wet with shorts, so they stay warmer, or at least that's the philosophy behind it. So postmen don't wear trousers.
Oh my god.
Now you bring it up. I don't think I've ever seen a postman not wear trousers.
Like if it's really
it's
cold,
the Mandela rain, effect.
Then they're gonna be cold, so they should wear trousers.
Yeah, no, but they'd be more cold if those trousers were sopping wet all the way
but
through.
But if it was just not raining, it was just a cold day, then they'd want to wear trousers, right?
No, because that doesn't go with the conspiracy thing.
Pay ratios. This is another policy that we can talk about. Anyone who's had the misfortune to get involved in a discussion about on this kind of topic with me has probably heard me bring it up because it's a, you know, a pet peeve of mine. This is the idea that there should be a legally enforced ratio of the wages of between the lowest earners in a particular company and the highest earners in that company, of say, for instance, 40-1. So the CEO at Jeff Bezos cannot be paid more than 40 times what the lowliest warehouse worker earns. Which means that if your company does well, you can give yourself a pay rise, but only if you make sure that everyone else in the company also shares in your success that they helped build and also gets a pay rise too. What do you guys think of this policy idea? Ben Howe, hit me.
Ideal. That's it. Let's go. Let's do it. I'll be getting to Parliament right now. I'd love that.
I cannot, for I am not 18. I think you have to be 18 to be an MP. I haven't looked it up. I assume so.
Which, in my opinion, is rubbish because, you know, it's not like it's our future that they're planning anything.
Yeah, I mean, you should definitely be able to vote at 60. This is a whole other podcast episode.
That is a whole
this is a whole other kettle of fish.
Oh, no.
Ed, pay ratios, what do you think?
Pay ratios. I mean, it all sounds a little bit communist, if everyone gets everything, but I think it sounds not too bad. I mean, I'm sure it won't work like that.
What makes you say that?
Because people are greedy. Then if sort of Jeff Bezos gets sort of like £1,000 more than he does already, for instance, like he's not going to, I doubt he'll share the same with everyone.
Why there needs to be a law.
As a law?
This is what
like
I'm saying. If this was introduced enforced. Into law and enforced, which would be very difficult, I understand. But if we could cross that hurdle, would you be in favour of that kind of system?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah. Kiddle, thoughts?
Yeah.
Sorted. Let's just all four of us just start our own party.
Nice.
Just the pay ratio party.
This is it.
Do you know, you can't say the word rat in the Houses of Parliament.
What?
You're not allowed to say the word rat.
Wait, is this an existing thing or is this our policy?
There's a law. You can't call someone a rat in the House of Commons or something.
Okay, well, on that note, I think it's about time that we wrap this thing up. So, yeah, closing thoughts, guys. Income inequality. Closing thoughts on it. Tom, what do you reckon?
Going back to what I was saying earlier about how Elon Musk is also it may not seem useful, but he's using his money to make advancements in space program. It is his, the $185 billion is his net worth. But that doesn't mean that he has $158 billion in cash in his big house.
Sure.
But a lot of that money is assets like massive spacecraft and factories and cars and stuff. So I don't think, I'm not defending that he should have that much money, but I don't think it's quite as it seems that that's money that he has that he can throw around.
Okay, sure.
So Jeff Bezos doesn't have a massive room full of $1 bills that make up $158 billion.
No, it's gold coins, and he dives in.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I understand that.
Okay. Anyone else got anything they want to add before we wrap this thing up?
I think early sort of environment plays a big factor. The schools, I think it's privately educated children are sort of a lot more likely to earn more. That makes sense, because I think that's because, I mean, obviously I don't know that much about private schools, but I think they teach more about sort of how to make money. I mean, I've never heard of how to do trading or anything on the stock market or anything like that until very, very recently, and it's been sort of brushed over. I've only sort of just learned how a loan works through the school system, but I think they learn that from a much younger age, and they learn about more ways of making money. So I think school is definitely a big factor.
They also have better access to supplies and just everything. They can get private tutors, they can better resources. Yeah. So if everyone had the same education and the same access to supplies, do you reckon that the amount of billionaires would go up, or would it go down because more people are, making that money and there's more competition?
I don't think it would necessarily affect billionaires, because billionaires are sort of a really tiny yeah. population. But I think it would affect the majority greatly. I think at least a sort of £10,000 annual increase in sort of people's personal earnings.
Okay, we keep on coming back to education. That's interesting.
Mm.
I think it's definitely the most important thing in.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's not that you can't make money if you don't have an education. It's documented well that people who have a lot of money didn't get along with in school, but it's sort of the privately educated people who are sort of in the middle between sort of wealthy and really wealthy, they're the ones that will be affected most by a private school education.
Yeah. I know we said that we were wrapping this up, but something Ed said kind of makes me want to keep on chatting for a bit. And we're kind of a week behind the news here, but you guys were reading about the GameStop.
Mm.
Stock market shenanigans.
I tried to.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Switch off very quickly.
Oh, I thought it was fascinating. I think
I read a lot of numbers, and me and numbers aren't really best of friends, so I kind of switched off very quickly anyway.
Well, we were talking about people, rich people giving away stuff. Did you see he wasn't rich, but the guy who made a load of money off the stocks then bought stuff for children's hospitals.
Yeah, he bought loads of consoles from GameStop, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that's. If he doesn't need the money, he thought that was the right to do, good on him.
Altruism.
It just means.
I hate the sort of Gen Z culture sort of stereotypes of like. I don't even know what to describe that is, but sort of like the millennial sort of taking over. But it's sort of the power that this our generation, especially and sort of a few years older, hold is a lot greater, as shown through that. Because it's just people on Reddit.
A whole
People on
place
Reddit
is
have disrupted
Reddit.
disrupted a major company in the stock market and it's upset Wall Street. So 10 years ago, you couldn't do that.
Just shows what you can do when you unite together.
When you really want to beat some rich people.
Yeah.
On Reddit.
Great. Right, okay, we've got our kind of communist adjacent rant out of the way. Let's let's wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I think we've kind of covered all bases now. So, anyone got any? Got any? What are your last words for the people at home, Ben?
I feel like I'm making a speech. Don't do drugs, kids. Don't do them.
Oh,
Never.
okay,
okay,
Yeah,
cool.
solid
Right,
message.
Ed, what's your last words for the people at home? I feel like I'm going to come and shoot you now. What's your last word?
The drone's going to come in through my window.
Jeff Bezos, I'm coming.
Okay,
Mic drop.
well, I've been Alfie Webb.
I've been Tom Kiddle. Thank you very much to our guests, Ben and Ed.
Thank you.
Woo!
Great. And okay, well, I think that's all the time we have. So, thank you very much to our guests, Ben Howell and Ed Pierce. Thank you all for listening.
Make sure you check us out on Patreon. We have a Patreon, everybody. We have a Patreon. You can donate us £1, a single pound per month, and you get some quality behind the scene contents. You can check that out by going to patreon.com/TDE.
That's patreon.com/ what, Tom?
TDE.
Wow. And for just £1 a month.
£1 a month.
But that's such a good deal.
I know. So why wouldn't you do it?
There is no reason. Just like there's no reason for us to carry on talking. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a nice day. Bye.
Bye.